smart speaker in your home or office? Just say, hey, Google, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's amazing.
And listen to Boston's Home for Sports. Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Subway on my way to Brooklyn. Hello, good looking. Is this seat chicken on the A train? Picking out a brain. I couldn't get a number, couldn't get a name. I
said I still like your. Go ahead, well, Eric B. and Rakim.
What year is this?
Yes,
I think it's from one of the house party movies, too. Is it because you shine? It's called What's On Your Mind. Thank you, James.
Rakim, the best MC of all time.
He's certainly top three in my book. I don't know if he's the best one.
I would say Ice-T, but only with Body Count. Body Count, by the way,
it's the worst.
It's the worst thing ever. I remember once I went. Okay, well, we've talked enough music, but either way, Ice-T's Body Count. I actually like the Ice-T Power album. It's one of the few albums, rap albums, that I owned when I was in my metal world. For some reason, that infiltrated.
Was
my,
the cover of him with the Kangol suit on?
That's right.
All right, Rich, you and Wallach very upset that you've cropped him out of the photos that are on Instagram.
I did not crop him out of that
photo.
I'm
not lying to you.
I did not crop him out of the photo.
No, you just chose a photo that had half my face.
Well, I mean, listen, you trust me. You wanted me to do that.
Oh, man.
John, no, that's not necessary.
No, that was not purposeful. I promise you, I did not do that.
Okay.
So right. Maybe so, that's the way they were sent to me.
All right. So anyway, you guys were out there, and thank you very much for doing it. I'm going to Bruins Media Day on Monday.
Are they
going
to put you in a bathroom again?
Well, John and I are going, and I've had no guarantee that we're going to get to talk to anyone.
Okay, just real quick, I have to retell the story for the people who have not heard it. So we went to a Bruins Media Day last year or 2 years ago? 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
And we went and showed up, and it was almost as if they didn't realize that anyone was going to come. So they put us in the bathroom at Warrior Ice Arena. It was like a big...
It was like a pee-wee locker room that was like...
Showers.
Four lockers... A shower and a toilet with no door.
And so we sat there for about 2 hours.
Yep.
And no one came by, except there was one person who walked in who I think their intention was to go to the bathroom. And when they saw there were people in there with a microphone, they turned around and said, well, maybe I don't use this one. Jeez. So that was our media day with the Bruins 2 years ago. Hopefully it would be different, but the Celtics media was completely different. They did a great job. One thing that I did notice is... When John got there a couple minutes before I did, and they started this thing early. Like, these guys got to, because last time we had to wait a while, but, I mean, they started bringing the people by, like, right at 11
we
o'clock.
We were told at 11:30. That's when the players showed up. I showed up at 11, and Terry Rozier was basically there waiting for me.
Yeah, so John shows up, and Terry Rozier is right there. So I walk in the middle of this interview. So John has already sat down. He started things off. And as I'm walking in, I see the back of Terry Rozier's head, and he's got a brand new tattoo right that takes up the whole back of his shaved head. And it looks like a digital clock that says the time 3:17 on it. So as I'm walking in, I'm like, I don't...
3:17 ain't godsome. 3:17 ain't godsome.
3:17.95.
3:17 ampersand. Listen to me. Apple.
That's almost what it said on it. But then, so I walk in, I sit down with John, and here is our interview with Scary Terry, a.k.a. Terry Rozier.
98.5 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich, joined by Terry Rozier here at the table. Game 7, that loss to Cleveland, did that kind of stick with you for a while? You talk to some players. Every player looks at it differently.
Nah, yeah, definitely stuck with me for a little minute.
How long did it take you to kind of put that aside?
Probably, like, honestly, for me to really get rid of it out of my head, probably like 2 weeks. You know, it's just tough for us, you know, the battle to go that far and come up short a game before making it to the finals.
Okay, let's put last season aside and let's go fast forward to draft night. And I think you know what I'm going to bring up here. You call Danny Ainge while you're live on the air with a show, and Danny Ainge basically tells you who the Celtics are going to draft, and you kind of surprised him a little bit. And it was really great to listen to it. A lot of fun to watch.
Did you get scolded? Scold you? Did he scold you for that?
That's what I was heading for. How much was there fallout from that? Did Danny call you back and go, what the hell is going on here?
Nah, he didn't do that. But obviously, he just let me know. that was the best idea. So that's all that was.
The world knew. The world knew before, just because of you and your live video stream.
I'm glad I can tell the world before they found out.
My name's Rich. I'm sorry. I just got here from work. Up here, though, Terry, I saw the back of your head. You got a tattoo, 317?
Yeah.
Like the time, 317. What does that mean?
My birthday is March 17. I think it's unique. It's St. Patrick's Day. And every time I look at the clock, it's always 317. So I feel like it's a message. So I just like I'm gonna get it tatted in the back of my head, everybody to see. And you know, it's more for me, not for everybody else.
I was just gonna say, no one's gonna see it.
It's more for me,
but you can't see it. So if it's for you, you got to put it somewhere you can see it.
I'm gonna get asked about it all my life, though, so it don't really matter.
Well, I'm sorry to be the 4,000th person to do it. So I'm noticing you got a lot of tats here. Is there any one, like, which one's your favorite out of all the stuff you got?
I don't really have a favorite, man. I got a lot of tattoos. I've been getting tattoos for a while now. I don't really have a favorite. They all got you know, special meanings to me. So.
You gonna get the Scream guy? You gonna get the Scary
Terry? I got the Scream guy last summer, so I got the Scream guy before I was even called Scary Terry. A lot of people knew that.
I never knew you had that before.
Before, yeah. I was even thought of Scary Terry. It was even this was last summer, beginning of last summer.
Oh wow! Yeah. So what a coincidence?
Yeah, it's definitely a coincidence. You know, this is my favorite serial killer. My favorite.
Nice.
Yeah, my favorite. I love scary movies, so he's my favorite. He's
I get it now.
He's my favorite. So
where do you rank Ted Bundy?
Number two.
All right.
So have you? I mean, that took off and it was nuts. Yeah. I mean, everyone had the shirts and everyone was, you know, wearing the thing. And I mean, where's been the strangest place someone has come up to you and identified you as Scary Terry, or you've seen one of those shirts?
Actually, it's this summer alone's been crazy, you know. Versus last summer, it was just like, all right, it's just like he's Terry Rozier. Not a lot of people didn't know who I was, but then this summer it was just like everybody. I was known as Scary Terry. Everybody called me Scary Terry, no matter where I was. It was just like things changed.
Yeah,
so like everything changed. So,
did you know who Drew Bledsoe was before he did that with the Scary Terry thing?
Well, one of my best friends plays. He's a football guy, so I think I got the Drew Bledsoe name from him. Like him, hearing him say Drew Bledsoe so much.
Yeah.
It was just in my mind to call Eric Bledsoe Drew Bledsoe. How it turned out. It was a great turnout, though.
Oh, it was awesome.
It worked out, so it worked out well.
We were making bets, Terry. I was like, there's no way, because we're like, if you don't live in the New England area and you're not, I guarantee you he doesn't know immediately who Drew Bledsoe is. So when he said your name, I was like, he don't care. He's out there just playing.
And to that point, have you talked to him since? Did you talk to him at all during the summer?
I talked to him a little bit, but, you know, not really. I'm a guy that just let, you know, give people their space, let them do his thing.
They went to Tahiti together. What do you think?
I still need my wine. And I'm going to get on.
He knows that much.
I need my own wine line.
Did he hook you up? Oh, that's right. He made like a – did he do like a Scary Terry wine or something?
He sent me some, you know, with a great message on it. So I still got my wine bottle that he sent me at the house put up, but – I still need my own line.
He's got to hook you up. Well, listen, congratulations on, you know, I mean, obviously, you showed, I think, everyone what you can do during that playoff run. And what's great is that with everyone healthy, you guys have got to be excited about what you guys are going to offer this year. I mean, the pressure's on. Obviously, the expectations are high, but I got to think that you probably welcome that.
Yeah, no, I think we all happy about it. We all excited about it. We just was together before we broke out, did this media. You know, I think It's going to be crazy. It's going to be special, like I've been saying all summer, and I think we're aware of it, so we just got to take it day by day.
You said a lot of good things about going back to being a bench player, and it looks like that's what's going to happen. Are you still good with that and settled with that? Because you played a lot of minutes at the end of last year.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't about who starts. It's about who finishes, so I'm going to get in and do what I can. And you know, these guys make me comfortable with everything, the coaching staff, you know, these great teammates, so we're going to go out there and have fun. It's more fun when you win it.
All right, well, good luck. Great to see you.
Yeah,
Terry Rozier, Scary Terry, the man who had that tattoo before the meme even came out. That was it's impressive. All right, thank you, Terry. Appreciate it, man.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub. 98.5thesportshub.com is your connection to the world of Boston sports.
Boogie down for Doug. listen on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app and take us everywhere you go. Also, listen at home or in your office on your smartphone speaker. Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so The Athletic did something to kick off the NHL season, and they found 10 NHL general managers and coaches, and they were all anonymous. And they asked them to rank each of the players in different positions, and they started off with the ranking of NHL goalies. Now, the one thing that they did discover, just looking at statistics and talking to some of these GMs who had access to all these different numbers that they gave the author, is that the top tier is disappearing. Like, there used to be a time where you had about four or five goalies that were just putting up ridiculous numbers, and now they only have what they call two players in the top tier.
Well, Pekka Rinne, he won the Vezina, right?
Because did Rinne win it?
I'm not sure if Rinne won
if
it.
He might have, he might have not, but he was excellent during the regular season. He was absolute trash during the playoffs.
Okay, well, the two people that they have in the top tier are Sergei Bobrovsky, of course, from the Columbus Blue Jackets, yep, and Andrei Vasilevsky. And those two, I don't think anyone can argue with. And they broke it down, and they have these graphs and charts and everything. And what they did was phenomenal. And then you've got tier two, and they break it down into the five different tiers. Where would you think Tuukka Rask?
Tier two.
According to, no, they also have them ranked, like, all the way from 1 to 31. I mean, they go all the way down.
Well, according to the Hockey News, the Halak and Tuukka combination is fourth best in the league.
Now, okay, so they don't look at the combinations.
No, I understand that.
They're just looking at...
And everyone that is involved with hockey outside of Boston seems to like Tuukka Rask.
It was Rinne, by the way, who won it last
year.
Yeah.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
A boom. I would say that Rask is in the top 10.
I would say Rask is outside the top 10, 11, 12.
14.
Yeah.
He's number 14. They put him in the third tier. They say he's no longer in the top tier of NHL goalies, but he's settled into a position that gives the Bruins a chance to win every night. Considering the team around him, that might be enough in Boston. Quote, as long as they play the way they play, Tuukka Rask will be a 2 rating. If they don't, he'll be a 3, said a goalie coach. I just see him aging, said a GM, who had him lower on than others in his evaluation. Quote, I do think Boston does a good job. If you watch that Boston-Toronto series, Toronto couldn't get to the net. If goalies have that defense in front of them, it helps with consistency. Now, the people that he's behind, he's just above Roberto Luongo, by the way.
He's
I know.
39 years old and in Florida.
Yeah, and he's right behind
him. Roberto Luongo is right behind him.
In the same tier. Dubnyk from the Minnesota Wild. Martin Jones is ahead of him from the San Jose Sharks.
Hellebuck of Winnipeg is ahead of him.
Matt Murray from the Penguins is at 11. At number, you got John Gibson from the Anaheim Ducks is ahead of him. Frederick Anderson is ahead of him from the Maple Leafs. Jonathan Quick at number 8. Pekka Rinne, they have at 7.
Really?
They have him at number 7.
He was
quick
hot. Rinne might not play many. He might play less games this year than his backup.
Carey Price is at number 5. He's tied with Braden Holtby, which I don't think you can argue with that. I mean,
wait, Price?
Yeah,
I can argue
I'm
with Price.
I'm talking about Holtby being at 5.
Would you rather have Rask or Price right now?
Rask.
Same with me.
Yeah, but I like Braden Holtby.
He's fine.
Well, we were talking about Carey Price.
No, but
Price,
the reason I was saying
Holtby.
I know, but Price is tied with Holtby. But I said Holtby, I could see being there.
Price is, I mean,
this
Price
is a
great
list.
Goalie, but he is a dumpster fire in front of him this year.
How do you pronounce the goalie's name for the Jets? Hellebuyck or
Hellebuyck?
Hellebuyck. Okay,
he was a Vezina Trophy finalist
All
last
right.
year.
Well, his name's hard to pronounce. Marc-Andre Fleury is at number 3 with the
sure.
Vegas. How great is that? That the Vegas Golden Knights have a guy at number 3 just from everything that's been going on. So, and then you, as I said, Bobrovsky
and
Vasilevsky.
Vegas is going to turn it around and do the exact same thing as last year.
It's all going to remain the same.
Yes.
They
so
won't have that miracle
going all
in
the
a
way.
Bottle.
This time they're going all the way.
So
this list is flawed. I'd rather have Rask than Price too.
Yeah.
And Rinne
Pekka Rinne.
He might not end up starting the entire season. I mean, he was trash in the postseason, and his backup's good. So, and young. So it might be one of those Penguin situations where they let Marc-Andre Fleury go. And he's 39, isn't he?
Who, Rinne?
Yeah.
I don't think he's 39.
How old is Rask now?
I don't know, ask the people at Woodland Country Club.
He's 31?
Because all they do is brag about how he plays golf there.
Yeah, he is 31. He's 31 years old.
How old's Rene?
35.
That wasn't far off.
Going to be 36 in November.
Yeah. So what was I, 3 years off?
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
Kaboom.
Boom.
Oh, hockey, baby. Now we're getting Freddie T's wheelhouse.
I know.
Now we're getting Freddie T's wheelhouse.
It's the Freddie time of the year.
The least they can do is give you one player on media day.
Yeah.
And not put you in the bathroom. That would be nice.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Bruins have the most buzz about them in town this year.
How funny is that? Right. I mean, it's like, you know, it's weird how, you know, they've dropped to fourth for this time of year.
It's nothing that's their fault. I mean, they're 10-1 to win the Stanley Cup. That's not exactly horrible odds. And two of the teams that are in front of them are Toronto and Tampa. So it just sucks that they're in that division. But they have a decent chance of winning the Cup this year. So that if that starts happening, then they're going to get a little bit of buzz.
Of course. And it's always going to be too late. The people are going to start paying attention when it's too late. And, you know,
it depends what the Patriots do.
It doesn't matter what the Patriots do. If the Patriots win, it's the big story. If they start losing, it's the big story.
No, I know, but
it's a bigger story.
It depends how far into the playoffs they go. But I agree. No one really starts paying attention to the Bruins outside of a few of us until, you know, January or after January.
However, you get a different feeling about the Celtics. The Celtics, I think everyone's all in on this year. I mean, obviously what they've done, and what was kind of funny is that, you know, Tristan Thompson, who is, you know, obviously not in a very good spot.
Yeah, that's you get knocked up that Khloe Kardashian. You got the runt of the litter in terms of not by size.
Who's the star player on Cleveland now? Kevin Love, and
no,
then who?
Their point guard they drafted, Sexton.
Okay, so there you go. That's the ticket.
Those are the two.
The big ticket. Okay, so the Cleveland Cavaliers don't have LeBron James anymore, yet Tristan Thompson feels extremely confident about this team, even calling out other teams that question just how good they're going to be now that he's gone.
They're still four-time Eastern Conference champions, so until you take them down from that, teams ain't got much to say. Boston, Philly, they ain't got much to say. Boston had home court game 7, lost. Philly, you guys almost got swept. Toronto, we already know that story, so...
Yeah, until somebody takes us down, there's not much those teams can say.
Well, let's wait a few games. Then we'll revisit this. So that's like game 6 of the season.
And to that, Marcus Morris, who you remember Marcus Morris and him jawing at each other during that series. Marcus Morris tweets a bunch of crying laughing emojis and put, cut it out. Get that vacation ready early this year, fam. Ain't blank going through the Cavs this year. Hashtag facts. So there you go. Living up to the reputation. And that's the other thing, too, is that this Celtics bench, they've been outplaying in many of the scrimmages they've had this week. They've been beating them in 5-on-5. And now they've got this whole, you know, gang mentality going on. They've got a nickname they've come up with. It's the BWA, the Bench with Attitude. And all of them are kind of taking pride in knowing that.
I'm starting to hate them.
What, the BWA?
Yeah, that's really stupid.
It's Marcus Morris who came up with that.
Oh, good.
But when Marcus Morris does it, I'm going to question it. I'm not going to call anything he does stupid. That guy looks mean.
Good, I'll sue him for all his
money. He's going to find you.
That guy's mean.
Yeah, he's going to find you.
Please hit me.
Oh, boy.
If he hits me, you'll never hear me on the radio again.
Marcus Morris is one of those guys that I think like could be legitimately crazy.
That's fine. I'll let you beat the hell out of me for a couple $1 million. No problem with that. I've taken beatings. Half my face is metal. I'll let you beat. Go ahead. If you got enough cash, I'll get an ambulance chaser and take you down.
For $1 million, would you take a punch from a heavyweight boxer?
Yes.
See, I wouldn't do that. That's like the one, I would not do that.
Because I've been stomped. There's nothing that one punch can do to me.
It can ruin your brain. Like, that's concussion stuff. Like, that is, heavyweight boxer, no.
My brain is not apt to be, it's too strong.
I'd take a punch from almost any athlete outside of a trained boxer. That'd be it. I'd take a punch to the face.
I'd take a punch to the face. I mean, the other guys get punched in the face. They get punched in the face numerous times.
Yeah, but
for $1 million? Yeah, absolutely.
Would you let Mike Tyson punch you in the face?
Yes.
For $1 million?
Yes.
Hell no. That's the one.
What's going to happen?
It could ruin you. It could ruin you.
With a glove on?
It could cripple you.
I've been stomped by boots.
No matter what it is, it's not a direct Mike Tyson punch in the face.
If someone kicks you as hard as they can in the face with a boot on, that is harder than a heavyweight can punch. I would let, of course I'd let him do it. I've look at my stupid Twitter. I got the picture of me. My whole face is all broken apart.
Mike Tyson punches you directly in the face, glove or not. That could damage you for good.
So can getting kicked in the face numerous times by guys with boots on.
Understood.
Look at my Twitter page. Go to @FredTutchin. There's no tweets. You can just see the picture of myself. I was in the hospital for a week. If Mike Tyson hits you, then you know, you go down. He might break your jaw, which sucks. But I take a broken jaw.
That's brain stuff, man. That's brain stuff you're messing with.
One punch, then you get a concussion. Big deal.
Well, I mean, Holyfield ended up okay. I mean, he's going to seem to be fine.
Yeah, but I think Holyfield took more than one punch.
But then again, he's prepared.
This guy's a lot bigger than
you. You can't prepare your head for getting punched.
Yes, you're making my point.
Right. So Holyfield, it's the same thing. I mean, you can.
He's got like
a head is a head.
He's got like neck muscles he can build.
Right, and that protects your brain completely. Let's go to Mark. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, Rich.
Yes.
You just said you'd take a punch from any professional athlete except a trained boxer.
I said for $1 million.
For $1 million.
Yes.
So say someone like Gronkowski.
Yep. I'd let Rob Gronkowski punch me in the face for $1 million, yes.
And you don't think he would hurt you just as much as a professional boxer would?
Hell no, he wouldn't.
Yeah, he would.
You're out of your mind.
You think Rob Gronkowski can punch as hard as a professional boxer like Golovkin?
Rob Gronkowski is bigger than most professional boxers.
Oh, God, but it's a special training. It's a special way to punch. It's all in the technique. That's why those guys get their asses kicked when they try to get into the MMA.
But
they don't know how to do it.
It's a right hook to the jaw, no matter who's giving it to you.
No, that's not right. That's matter of fact, that's completely wrong. A right hook to the jaw, punched the right way with the right technique, can do twice the amount of damage as someone who doesn't know how to do it properly.
Gronkowski throws bombs.
I mean, that guy couldn't be any more wrong.
Well, a professional. In fairness, Rich has taken boxing lessons.
I have quite a few. So I am a certified tough guy.
Yeah, he knows the sweet science.
No, it's just because I've seen. I mean, these boxers.
I've been beat up so many times. What's another one? Sonny, go ahead.
Hey, Rich, I got to tell you, he kind of made his point for you. Him being soft, saying he's okay, that kind of gives value to the point. Look at him.
What?
He's saying you've been damaged by getting punched, by kicked in the head.
That's a guy's a big meanie who says you're ugly.
Yeah.
Well, someone wants to
say ugly before, too.
Someone wants to say something mean to you online, too, Fred.
Okay. All right. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, buddy? I just want to know, if your brain is so strong, then why is all your content so garbage?
It's over your head. It's because it's over your head. It's too intellectual. My references are too cerebral.
Is that it? Is that all you got?
It's gone. It's gone.
You leave all your head.
Yeah. That's what he did. He made fun of me, and then he skedaddled because he knew it was a chess match and that I was going to win.
Anyone that thinks that a punch from Rob Gronkowski is just as powerful as a punch from Mike Tyson is out of your mind.
Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Rich, I must be out of my mind then. Maybe not Mike Tyson. That's a little different. But you referenced Gennady Golovkin. Gronk is way bigger than him. Now, if you put those two in the ring, Golovkin's got the skill and a lot of power. He might beat him. But one shot to your face from a defensive lineman, anyone in the NFL, is going to do just as much damage. It's not like they have to have skill and technique.
Yes, you
do. Throwing a haymaker. One haymaker.
Yes, and it would suck, but it would do more damage with somebody who is a professional boxer who knows how to throw a punch to do the most damage, without a doubt.
Now, could I be drunk?
It's almost insulting to boxers to just say anyone can punch as hard as they can because they're big. Why isn't every big person a professional boxer?
Because it involves more than just throwing a haymaker. I mean, boxing is a very complicated sport that requires a lot of dexterity and training.
Ooh, line two is one I would have to consider. That's one that I may have spoken about.
We're going to have to break. But Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Look, Rich, I think you're a little out of your mind on this because there's so many guys in the NHL alone who are basically fighters. Look at Sean Thornton, for instance. He'd knock your ass out and send you to the hospital, probably just as bad as Mike Tyson would.
No, that's not true. Although, however, the question is whether I would take a punch from him for $1 million, I probably still would, but I'm hesitant.
Now, because can these you guys be drunk? Can I get drunk?
Yeah, you have to get drunk. You have to. You have to get
if
me
I'm
some
drunk,
sort of
then I'd take it from anybody.
Yeah,
you'd have to blindfold me, and I'd have to be super drunk, and then I would let him do it. Absolutely, you put $1 million in cash in a briefcase,
and you would let Mike Tyson punch you square in the face.
Yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. That's a professional
boxer.
John,
what do you think is worse, getting hit once by Mike Tyson in the face or getting stomped several times with boots?
I would think getting stomped several times with boots is probably worse.
Right. I'd take a broken... Worst case scenario, he breaks my jaw.
I would take option C, which is neither.
For $1 million?
I really don't want to get punched in the face by Mike Tyson.
Well, $1 million, that's a lot of spaghetti, if you know what I'm saying.
It's a lot of cheese, cheddar.
That ain't hay. I'll say that. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the stack?
Speaking of boxing, HBO says goodbye to any kind of boxing programming. On top of that, hey, looks like the NHL, or the NFL, rather, is acting cowardly again. We will get to that as far as their ruling on protecting the quarterback.
All right, here are the headlines.
You don't have to lift a finger to wake up to Toucher and Rich.
No way.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. Right now they're voting on the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation. And this Blumenthal guy, can't hear audio. He's been going on and on. I wonder if he played two A's in football.
No, well, we did learn that Kavanaugh did yesterday.
Kevin, hello.
Kevin! What was that movie that he remember? Kirby! Is that Boomerang?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
It's Kirby, yes.
The name
of the dog that Eddie Murphy was yelling for is Kirby.
Yeah, Kirby! That's right. That's what it reminded me of. Well, CeCe Sabathia is not a very smart man. He entered the game yesterday between the Yankees and Rays with 148 innings pitched on the year. His contract for 2018 had an incentive that would have paid him, Fred, $500,000 if he pitched 155 innings. So all I needed to do was to get through seven innings to secure the bonus. All right. So there was a pitch that came in the I think it was the fourth inning where Tampa reliever Andrew Kittredge threw a ball behind Yankees catcher and right behind his head, and the home plate umpire came out and warned both sides. Sabathia was seen yelling in Kittredge's direction after that pitch, and at that point, the very next time that he was up to bat, CeCe Sabathia gets up there and does this.
On the first pitch, Sabathia hits Sucre in the leg, and he got thrown out of the game. And that because of the warning that Vic Garapaza gave both benches. That was absolutely retaliation by Sabathia's part. The Rays bullpen starts walking out.
You see Judge come out there?
And also, CeCe was good enough to throw the ball down and hit him on the leg.
When Judge comes out, it's like Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah.
It's like a giant amongst like midgets. He's
I think what CeCe Sabathia did was honorable.
Well, what CeCe Sabathia did was lose $500,000.
Which to him is 5 cents.
I know. I'm just going to say, all the millions he's earned, I'm thinking.
It's $500,000.
No, I think what he did is admirable.
Him, that's like 10 bucks to us.
Yeah. And I think what he did was admirable. He stuck up for his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that gives them a little extra something.
And he yelled at him. He said, "That's for you, bitch." You could see him say that if you read lips. Mm-hmm. And here's CeCe Sabathia afterwards being asked about, "Hey, man, you just lost yourself a lot of money."
Yeah, I mean, I don't really make decisions based on money, I guess. I just felt like it was, the right thing to do.
I think your guy's back. Kevin!
You got me?
Yeah, yes. There you are.
Dan did
all right, now I got you.
I got it. I got it, Danny boy.
I can't tell how wrong you are for willing to take a punch from Mike Tyson.
Okay.
I've been involved in martial arts over 25 years.
Oh, yeah!
Anybody who knows anything about throwing a punch knows that just because you're big, honestly, doesn't mean a whole lot.
Okay. I'll take a punch for you for I'll take a punch from you $100,000.
Oh, I bet you would, no doubt. But I'm not Mike Tyson.
Yes, I have my face has been destroyed from so many beatings that I did not receive any money from that I would be willing to take a punch from Mike. What's the worst that could happen, Kevin?
You could die.
Oh, not from a haymaker.
Yeah, you could.
He's not going to
kill. Are you kidding me? Mike Tyson wouldn't throw a haymaker. He would throw a very educated from the ground all the way up through his hips and shoulders and whip a hook punch into your head, and you could literally die.
Then why don't the guys that he hits die? When he hits numerous times, why don't they die?
I'm not saying you will die. I'm saying you could. You asked the question, what
could happen? Sure I could die. I could die going through Dorchester, apparently. It's a very bad neighborhood. I don't know if you weren't listening to the show earlier. But, yeah, Wiggins said he would drop me off somewhere where I would immediately be shot. But
you would suffer probably more than a broken jaw. He could literally snap your neck. He could literally kill you.
Okay. And the other thing, Kevin, is, isn't it ridiculous? It's insulting, actually, to boxers to say that Rob Gronkowski, just because he's big, could throw a punch and it would cause just as much damage as someone like Mike
Absolutely.
Tyson.
Ridiculous to compare the two. Just because Gronk is big, that means, I don't want to say it means nothing, because obviously size matters and anyone who says different is wrong.
Tell it to my wife.
It's not everything.
All right, let me ask you this. Would you prefer to be repeatedly stomped by Boots and kicked in the face, or get one punch from Tyson?
Well, honestly, that's a ridiculous comparison, but
I got kicked in the face. Half my face is metal.
Can I cover my head?
No.
You can't cover your head.
No.
Okay.
No, you can be drunk, though.
I mean, that's like saying, do you want to get shot in the face or shot in the back of the head? I mean, either
one. But I'm telling you something that happened to me. You can go to my Twitter page. There's nothing I tweeted, but you can look at the picture of myself after my severe beating. I was in the hospital for a week. They called my parents to come in because they said I may never look the same, and thank God I do. But I would rather, you know what? I'd rather take a punch from Mike Tyson than be stomped like I was that one time.
Okay, that's all good and well. Which one would you rather?
Get punched.
But to take $1 million and roll the dice saying that Mike Tyson won't cripple you forever? I think
the worst thing he does is he smashes my jaw. And then I get tabbed off work.
Now, you're not a professional athlete. You're not built like an athlete. Your neck isn't such as an athlete is, that Mike Tyson fights.
You must have not seen me lately.
Snap your head around.
Dude, I'm putting up 245s and 225s.
You're using cinder blocks to work out.
I'm not worried about my neck.
No, I trained with professional football players.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really big, big guys.
Yeah.
And
I want a shirt that says that.
A lot of them really cannot punch.
Okay, I understand. I'm not arguing with you. I'm sure he punches very well.
Someone said, Fred, you have not seen Rocky IV. Would you take a smackaroo from Drago?
Smackaroo. It depends what he registers on that thing that he hits.
That's right.
Shows his power. Joe! Hello.
Hi, Fred.
Hey.
I really have to second what Kevin was just saying. I really think you need to rethink this.
Well, Joe, it's not like an offer's on the table.
but you're saying you'd much rather take the punch from Tyson, right?
Than be stomped on the face and have my face all smashed apart? Yes.
Here's the thing, though. Even if you were stomped in the face with steel toe boots,
I was
still not the same.
Yeah, it's worse.
It's not the same, right? Joe Frazier and Mike Tyson, one in a billion, right? One in a billion people.
I take a punch from Joe Frazier now. Could probably beat him up.
One in a billion. If they hit you one time, cocky one time, they'll comatose you, Fred. Comatose you.
They put me in a coma?
They could. Somebody said, Fred's the most proud person I've ever met to have had their ass beat. So there you go.
I'm not proud of myself. Does this seem like the man who's proud of himself? I'm just saying, I've taken so many beatings. I could take a punch. He's going to put you in a coma. Give me a break.
Tyson could do that. He absolutely could put you in a coma with one punch.
Fine, then. He would put everyone in a coma. I mean, there's fights where he hits a guy 45 times to the head. You get me drunk, you put me out there, you blindfold me, I take the punch, and there I go. Then they wire my mouth shut, and then I get time off work.
So he said, Fred, why were you kicked in the head?
All right. There was a party, and then I walked out of the party, and everyone was acting tough. And all these guys that said that they were super tough guys and they fall all the time, which is nothing I ever said, were standing there facing off. And so I said, why are you guys just standing here? And I went up and I hit a guy. And then I just went up and hit a guy in the face. And then I got immediately jumped.
So you deserved it.
Well, Rich, let me finish.
Okay.
No, I didn't deserve to be to have three guys stomping me, because you know what the other people did?
Right.
Nothing. Nothing. All those tough guys that have been, and they still email me, go, oh, you don't know what happened. We kicked their ass. No, you didn't. So my friend Johnny Heller, rest in peace, was the one guy. He heard about it, and he went over to the guy's place, and the guy took, I'll tell you this story. So I get out of the hospital, and I walk over to my friend John's house, and he answers the door, and he has no front teeth. So I said, what happened? He goes, well, I went over to kick the guy's ass. And he took a pool cue and just smashed me in the face.
Oh, that's nice. It's like Out for Justice with Steven Seagal. It's been nuts.
Yes. So I wouldn't say I deserved it, Rich. I would say a night everyone was sitting around like, yes, God.
And you threw the first punch.
And so I went, oh, screw this. And I went up and I punched a guy.
Okay.
And then, but I figured that, you know, hey,
I got an army behind me.
Yeah, help out.
That did not happen.
They just sat there while I got kicked. Because they were all a big bunch of crap-talking pussies.
Would you take a punch in the face from Mark Jamelli for 100 meatballs, people were saying?
I'd take a punch from Mark Jamelli if he'd be my friend.
All the meatballs were gone.
All right.
Away from the recliner.
You might as well play Ass Man now.
I was just going to say, you only have about a minute. So.
I'm an ass man. I'll do that. Although we have a call on line 3, which might be shut down the show.
All right, sir. Stop the story. Okay. Frank, go ahead.
Yeah, one thing no one is mentioning, Fred, and I'm surprised that this hasn't come up yet, is just how big of a piece of human garbage Sarge is. Thank you.
Thank you. Frank has called in before. The best is when Sarge was on the air.
Can't see me.
When Sarge was filling in, you guys weren't here.
Yeah.
And Sarge, just people were calling in and like, I want to talk about the Red Sox. They take the call and they'd be like, yeah, you know what, Mookie Betts? He's having quite a year, unlike Sarge, who's a piece of garbage. Wow. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, why don't you take it to the comedy place? He went after Adam 12 on Twitter yesterday.
Sarge did?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Why are you picking a fight with Adam 12?
Because when he said someone gave him something, Adam 12 said a restraining order. He goes, ha, when are you doing comedy?
Okay, all right, well, that's not really going after him. That's failing going after someone.
No, well, I mean, for him, that was...
Did I trigger that early, by the way?
I mean, we can get it.
hard to judge at this hour.
All right. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. That'll do it for us. Bye.